times that, but I think God can draw us to these things in the natural to say, look at what people spend their time on and doing and will stand for, but yet they will not stand for me. They will not have time for me. We've got to have our services in and out. Johnny on the spot, Jiffy Lube. 10 minutes, 12 minutes for an oil lube and a change. Out. We had it a long time back. I was visiting with the pastors I was with at that time, and we were sharing, and this particular pastor in their church had like 3 services or something like in a day, morning. I said, wow, that's awesome. That's great that you can do that. They, you know, that big a body, great, God bless. And it's like, it's started this time, it's got to be done, but this time we've got to usher the people out, bring in the next group, you know. I said, what happens if the Holy Ghost falls? What happens if the Spirit of God begins to speak at the early service? And you can't end at 9:20 or whatever, 9:45. Do we just kind of like, okay, got to go. I'm sorry, Lord. You're full of blessings. You're wanting to touch these people, but we just don't have time. Get out. I don't say that criticizing. I was asking as flowing with the Spirit. It's like, how do you deal with that? I know that everything's got to be in order and season and this. And he goes, well, I believe that if God and the Spirit wants to get something accomplished, he can do it in 45 minutes or 30, whatever it is. It's just where they were at. And again, not wanting to judge anything, but I'm just saying that's the concept of even people in relationship with him. And I'm not perfect. I err in many areas. I'm still a sinner saved by grace. I'm still letting God have more of me every day. But there's something that's like, man, I got into ministry because I loved God. And I wanted to share him with people. It's not a career. It's not my 401. It's not my, although my retirement is much better than anybody in the secular society and that I had when I had my secular job and career. But it's like, I didn't get into this for a career. I got into this because God called. And I said, Lord, I don't have anything of understanding in anything, as I shared before. But I come with an open heart. And I come now, seriously. It took me a few years. But I come now wanting to serve you. And so we want to serve him. We want to open up and have this availability of time to say, Lord, here am I. Here are these wonderful people. Touch their spirit. Amen. And I do realize instantly he can touch you. Doesn't mean like we got to drag it out for 3 hours. Sometimes that gets to be kind of crazy. We're just going to, come on, we're going to keep pressing in. Maybe the Spirit says, that's your problem. You're pressing in too much. You're trying to make it your own thing. Just release yourself. Just let it flow. Just be yourself with me. And I said many times, I'd rather spend 20 minutes in the Spirit than 3 hours just talking church. And I know God can do miraculous things in a shortened time, but I also know he wants us to give ourselves all to him and allow him to minister into our lives. And once we do that, it gets to be really good. That's why, you know, Sunday mornings, we started back there. I was going to say, I usually start saying, hey, did everybody have a good week? I said, I'm going to stop saying that because if you're all filled with the Holy Spirit and God is with you, I'm going to say, hey, you had a great week this week. I don't need to focus on I had a bad week. I had some hiccups. I had some bumps in the road, but they are nothing compared to the glory of God that I have in my life. They're nothing to what God showed me and how he helped me this week. Amen. I don't want to focus on the negative. I want to focus on my God. Woo! Hallelujah. Okay, settle down now. We got a service we got to be done with. But God is good. And just love him. Amen. Just love him. He's got so much. I mean, he's still working with me. I can't believe he's still patient with me. How about you? So we're into the season of Advent. Oh, what is Advent? Advent. We've entered into this quickly. All of a sudden, I'm realizing. Of course, we had Shelley with us last week, a special speaker, and then some other things before that. And yeah, it's been good. All good messages. Well, we look at this word Advent. Advent comes from the Latin adventus, meaning arrival or coming. Amen. We know already in his church. We already know what's coming. Amen. We're not surprised. But we want to honor that. But we want to let the people, thank God, let the world know. They're celebrating, you know, Christmas with presents and all that, but they're also celebrating, sometimes they don't even know it per se, but they're celebrating the birth of Christ. Now, was he born on December 25th? No, there's all kinds of things, calendar and all that stuff. But that's where we have we've put it. So are we going to discount it and say, well, bless God, I'm a man of God, and that's not when he was born, and I'm not going to support that. I'm going to support anything I can that the world is looking at and celebrating the birth of my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's many things that we celebrate that all came through a calendar of, you know, the Gentiles and things of that, and Roman calendar. It had nothing to do, but we pick up on it and say, well, let's do the same thing. But anyway, meaning arrival or the coming, particularly of something having great importance. Now I'm talking to the choir, we know the importance of what came, Jesus. And I've said this before, he didn't come to heal us, he didn't come to give us money, he didn't come to prosper us in a nice big home and to give us a nice car and a nice job and a nice family. He didn't really come for all of that. His mission when he came was to reconcile us back to that of God, to cleanse us of our sins first, for salvation. And the rest of this stuff, which is good stuff, amen? Say good stuff. It is good stuff. But he did come to give me life and have it more abundant. He did come to be my physician. I can pray. He's my intercessor. He sits there at the right hand of God, there in my times of prayer, interceding for me. I pray to that of Jesus. Jesus says, hey, God, hey, Father, Father. You know, don't get trying to figure all that out, but that's the way it is, you know? And so we come with something of greater importance, that of the birth of Christ, our Lord and Savior, our salvation. He brought salvation to the people, first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. I'm glad the Jews discounted him. I'm glad they shunned him, because all he did then is he went to the Gentiles that accepted him even greater. You know? But it was all the plan. Nothing surprised God. And so that's how God has his whole, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got all of creation in his hands. Whether you're Jewish or Gentile, it doesn't matter. Just have him as your Lord. The period is beginning usually 4 Sundays before that of Christmas. And we consider it a season of fasting and prayers, and you can get into all kinds of different things, of liturgical things and denominational things. Advent typically could involve seasons of prayer, fasting, repentance, and it's followed by anticipation, hope, and joy. We find that many Christians today celebrate Advent not only by thanking God for the coming of Christ, amen, but he came as a babe, figure that out, but as the plan of God. It was a plan of God so that we as man could accept that and understand that. That we can't come and say, well, he doesn't know how I feel. He has not been through what I've been through. For he came and he has gone through life in his natural body, that of a human, and he experienced sufferings, pains, death. So he knows. He knows what it's like to lose a close friend, Lazarus. We know all of these things because he experienced it, you know? And that's why he came, so that God can say, I know exactly how you are feeling. Because until that, we would not be able to have a relationship with him. Because how in our natural times we talk with people, and if we have not experienced exactly what they've experienced, and we're trying to comfort them, how many times will they have told you or share with you, but you have not experienced what I've just experienced? Ding, 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 ding. Well, you know what? You're right. So I can't really come and say I know exactly how you're doing. But I can come as a human with empathy and comfort to say, I know that must really hurt you, to have lost someone or to have had this happen. And so we can pray with them. But that discounts when we can go and say, well, I know exactly how you're feeling. And that's why now, you know, when we go through things, we can't say, well, God, you just don't know what this is all about. You don't understand why I'm mad at this. You don't understand why I'm hurt. So anyway, he came in flesh. Jesus is here. He gives us that hope and joy. Many Christians today, Advent is not only thanking God for the coming of Christ, but also for his presence among us today. How is that? Through the Holy Spirit. Never leave us nor forsake us. God's word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, because he's always here with us. Right there beside you, seeing your tears, hearing your laughter, understanding your frustration, knowing that he's got something better for you if we just trust him and allow him in. But he's with us today through the Holy Spirit and in preparation and anticipation of his final coming, that second coming at the end time. Now, we've talked many times to where, well, do you think it's really going to happen? Yes. Just let's cut to the chase. Yes, Jesus is coming back. I don't know when. Don't know when. What day? Whatever. I'm not going to focus on trying to figure it out because there's more things to do for God now than to try to figure out when he's coming back. Because chances are, any time and thing that you think is going to be wrong. But we are to be about the Father's business. And that's to share love and comfort and to share the salvation message that, you know, right now where you're at in life, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm sorry to tell you this, but when you die, there is a hereafter. There's a hereafter for all of us. Some will be that of in hell, and those will be that of in heaven. And it's for eternity. You think this life is hard here now? You think life here is, whoa? Well, you're going someplace for eternity. For us that are children of God, we are going to a great place and going to be in his presence, and it's all, he's going to take care of us. I've got a VIP number, so do you, or a membership, but, you know, we all have that same VIP membership. You know, we're all going to get some blessings and wonderful things, but we're here, and we're looking at it, and there's anticipation. And I always say, well, they prophesied it in the Old Testament about the things in the New, and even in the Old Testament are the things of Revelation, and then Jesus is speaking of things in the New and talking about revelations of things in Revelation and prophesying. So I said, if the Old Testament brought forth and was true in the New, things that have been prophesied in the Old Testament and New Testament, I have got a 99.99% guarantee that Revelation is going to come about. I don't know when, but it's going to come about. Just be ready. Hallelujah. Be ready. All you need to do is be ready is have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and just be found doing what he wants you to do. Whatever it is. Not pastoring. Could be just witnessing. Not witnessing. Just being an example. If nothing else, be the light. Be that candle in a darkened place. Hit that one blackout button. But look at the brightness of the light. Ah, well, we got side light here and here. But the light of the candle. Okay, hon. Thank you. Be that light. Be that light. And you know what? In the darkened times, as these days are getting, that light shining through the darkness of this world, people will be drawn to it. Drawn to the light. So we look at this period as waiting the arrival of Jesus Christ into the world. Now, Advent is primarily observed, and I'm just reading things that I've written off. I'm not anything supernatural that I've got this, but observed in churches such as the Catholics, Orthodox, Anglican, Episcopalian, Lutherans, Methodists, Presbyterian, and even some of us guys, non-denominationals, you know. No. Non-denominational. We just don't want to be tied to man and what man says we got to do. We want to be non-man and all God. We want to use everything in the Bible that is there and not discount any one thing or two things or whatever. We want the whole gospel. The what? F-U-L-L gospel. Full gospel. Now, these denominations are good and well and all that, and they start out very good, but we see the corruption and all that of today, and we don't need to get into that. We as non-denominational, we can be corrupted as well. But we have got to what? Guard ourselves. The church has to guard itself, just like we as individuals have to guard ourselves against the evil of the things of this world, right? Every day that we go out individually out there, you've got to be aware. You've got to walk that walk of that of Christ, a follower of him. Amen. And there's things out there that are going to trip you up if you allow it. So we've got to watch it. And while we're out there individually going, and this comes across our path, oop, this could trip us up. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay here and be faithful. We have denominational and major churches, big churches, whatever groups of people out there. We're going good and good and good. And all of a sudden, a little leaven gets in there. What's a little leaven do? Leaven's the whole thing. And they don't recognize it and address it. And pretty soon it manifests itself. And now you got denominations going like this. So we're not perfect, but I want to stay alert and be watchful of anything that could destroy us as what our faith is here and how it could come in and create some divisions and whatever. Now, the very word of God will create division. But I want to be on his side. And what he say, I say. Doesn't matter what I think. You can ask me all about what's about society and about this and about that. It doesn't matter. I got opinions, but it don't count for a whole lot. But I want to see what God's word says. And I want to do and follow as best I can that. Hallelujah. So today, however, more and more Protestant and evangelical Christians are recognizing the spiritual significance of Advent. And we've begun to revive the spirit of this. And that's what happened when I became the pastor here. I've been here for several years before that, and I don't ever recall celebrating Advent. It was a denominational thing. I was a young pastor back then, 40 years old. And I got into this, and I kind of said, kept my, don't need. And I don't know when it all started. I can look at my records because it's all dated and messages. But began to say, you know, there's something good about this. Advent. And my wife was able to get some information from some wonderful people that were Lutherans and how they experience it and all, and doing some things online. So it's not to discount the denominational things. And I thought, this is a good thing to recognize. What's wrong with bringing attention to the birth of Christ through Advent? So I never want to discount and say, oh, that's only the things of now. No, this is stuff for that of the kingdom of God. And so I started looking into it, and for the most part, we try to celebrate this and bring this aligning up to the Advent, the arrival, the coming of something particularly having great importance. We celebrate, like I said, every day, every Sunday, we celebrate Advent. But this is a special time of the year, and we want to just focus on that as well and just say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Today, we are doing that. We find symbols, many different variations and interpretations of Advent and customs of today, depending upon the denomination and the type of service that they're being observed in. The symbols that we're going to look at here kind of give an overview. And so some of this stuff is kind of like changes up a little bit here and there, but for the crux of it, this is kind of what it is, okay? Purple has that traditionally been that primary color of Advent, purple, symbolizing the repentance and fasting. Purple is also the color of what? Royalty. How many here know? Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, royalty. Demonstrating the anticipation and reception of the coming king celebrated during Advent. Now today, however, many churches have begun to use blue instead of purple. So see, now we get into this blue, purple, blue. You know, if I didn't have blue up here, some people from a very background, staunch thing say, that's not right. You know, you're not observing it rightly. No, we're observing it. Just observe it. Began using blue instead of purple as a means of distinguishing Advent from Lent. We get into the Easter season, we go into Advent for Christmas, Lent for preparing for Easter, the resurrection. And then pink, or the rose color, right in this here, is one of the colors of Advent used during one of the Sundays in the representation. We'll kind of get into this a little bit here. And what it does, it represents the joy or rejoicing that reveals a shift in the season away from the repentance and towards celebration. And then white in the center is that and the representing purity. Christ is the sinless, spotless, pure Savior. Also, those who have received Christ, as we've spoken of already, are washed of their sins and they're made whiter than snow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, we have a wreath that was part of that celebration as well. The wreath is circular garland of evergreen branches. And circle kind of represents what? Eternity. There's no ending. So things that God is about, the things that Jesus came, was for us for what? Eternity. It's not a stop date, and a beginning date, and an end date with anything with our walk with faith or our times of salvation. It's a born again and continuing on. Now we also know that even if you didn't have him, like I said earlier, you know, we are, when we die, are going to one place, hell or heaven. and it's for eternity. So there is no end to this. It's not like, well, I'm going to get out of here and then I'm going to come back as a dog, or I'm going to come back as a tree, you know. So it's circular, representing eternity. On the wreath, five candles. Yes, okay. Are typically arranged. During the season of Advent, one candle on the wreath is lit each Sunday. We lit two because last Sunday was the start of it, as part of the service. Now, each candle represents the aspect of spiritual preparation for the coming of Jesus. We're just preparing. Prepare your hearts. We set on the branches of the wreath are four candles. We've talked about that. Okay, represents the coming of the light of Christ into the world. On that first Sunday of Advent, the first purple candle, which would be one of these that is lit, would be typically called the prophecy candle. Sometimes it might be called the hope candle, that we have hope. That would be one of them. It's in remembrance of the prophets, primarily Isaiah, who foretold the birth of Christ. See, there has to be the beginning before there could be the becoming. The becoming of him had been spoken about in Isaiah in the Old Testament. Actually, as we've talked, John, you know, studies, as it was spoken, we know, back in Genesis, that this birth of Christ was coming about. And then we go into the second Sunday, today, would be the candle lit that represents that of love. Now, some have love, some have joy. It all starts breaking apart in some of the areas of how denominationally and how they look at some of these steps of, like, is it hope, joy, peace, love, this? But eventually, if you celebrate all of them, you're touching base on all of it. So it just depends on the order. And like I say, it talked about up here in the early, that each one kind of takes in how they flavor it and how they explore Advent and what they follow. So we look at that second purple. It's lit, typically represents love. Some traditions call this the Bethlehem candle, symbolizing Christ, that in the manger. And then you can get into discussions, well, was it a feed trough or was it a box? Was it this or was it that? The main thing about that whole thing is, who was in it? Jesus. Could have been, you know, back in the days now, if he was born, he'd probably, mom or dad, they probably would have pulled a drawer out of a chest of drawers and laid it down and put the bed in there and put him in a drawer, you know. But the thing is, he came. See, we want to get into a lot of these sidebars that the devil likes us to get into and just stir it up. Well, it can't be that, it's got to be this. It can't be that, it's got to be this type of straw. It can't be that kind of straw, it had to be this. All I know is a stable or is in a cave or it's something. I'm just going to tell you, he was not born in a five-star hotel or hospital. He came as a lowly, lowly person, humbled. Why? So that basically anybody should be able to relate to him. You know, he is that of notoriety and kingship and all and glory. And if he came that way, us, the peons, would say, oh, here again, he doesn't understand. They don't understand what us peasants have to put up with. That's all their world that they're in. No, God covered everybody to cover all of humanity. So though no, not one can come and say, you don't understand. My friends, God understands right where you're at. He knows your hurts probably better than you do. Now, the third Sunday would be the pink or the rose. The pink is customarily called that of the shepherd's candle, and it represents joy. The shepherd's candle, you know, we've known and we've heard the stories of the shepherd, you know, coming. It's a beautiful story. They're out in the plains and dark, and they're out there watching the flock. But he's a shepherd. The fourth would be that of the last purple, would be sometimes called the angel candle, represents peace. And then we find on a Christmas Eve service, you would light the light, the white one in the center. And this is called the Christ candle and represents the life of Christ that has come into the world. The color white does what? White represents purity. He was sinless. Christ is the sinless, spotless, pure Savior. You know, you think of things in the natural and think how we advertise things as 100 or 99, well, 99.9% pure. I think ivory was like that, the soap. 99.9% pure. Jesus, 100% pure. 99.9 means there's a little bit, a tenth, a little bit of something in there. There was nothing in that of Jesus. He was 100% spotless, without sin. Amen. He was God in the flesh. In God, there is no sin. And of course, we understand the story of why he was born to Mary and conceived by that of the Holy Spirit, where Adam could not have relations with Mary. We understand all of that. I'm just, as you look back and you think and read, and I would encourage you to just, we know the story. How many here know the Christmas story? It's read every Christmas, you know? But just reread it again and again every season, if nothing else. And it just brings it back, the point of how God had it totally covered and the purposes and the reasons why, and to realize that, you know, Mary and what Joseph, what they had to deal with as young couples. And you remember back then, you know, when it talks about where he would put her away secretly and all, back in that culture, you know, today, we're not really married until we go, say, I do. Back in that culture, it was meant like if you were betrothed to be married and wed, you're not just engaged, you are now married. Not living yet together, still separate, but you're betrothed. She's yours and you're hers, and it's a marriage. So it was a lot more stricter back then in what their customs and things were. And that's where if you begin to realize and understand and kind of dig into some of the customs, why the imperativeness of it and how Joseph was wanting to put her away properly and not cause, you know, problems. Well, oh, she's going to be, that means she's, you know, she's tainted. She, you know, we've had sexual relations and before marriage. But anyway, the white color represents purity. Christ is the sinless, spotless, pure Savior. Also, those who receive Christ as Savior, they are washed of their sins and made whiter than snow. There's that song out there, right? White as snow, though my sins are forgiven, or something like that. White as snow. In the Old Testament, of course, there's that one time a year they'd come for what? Cleansing of their sins. Or at least, you know, sacrifice. And it was good for that year, but guess what? Next year they'd come back and do it again. Continuing forgiveness, continuing. Where we know now, you know, that kind of just covered their sins for that year. Jesus comes, and notice it's not covers our sins. He washes us free of our sins. You know, just in your normal day in and day out stuff, when you're doing laundry, look at how dirty your garments are. Throw them in the wash and they come out. Hopefully your detergent just didn't cover them, right? What did the detergent do? It washed them. It cleansed them. It took out the grime, the soil, the things that shouldn't be in that fabric. Jesus comes and he takes out the sin that we are all born into just by coming in as human beings. But he takes that, and we look in our fiber and our body. We've been washed. Our sins have been washed. And now the thing about that is, too, is as we go through life, I don't know about you, but I'll be real honest with you that I've had to go back several times and ask for God's forgiveness on things. Cleanse me of my sins, Lord. And it's not just because I want to just sin just so I can say that. It's because of things in life, things in human, things that we are as flesh. You know, we are not perfect. You become perfect where? Heaven. But while we're here, we go through things, but that same power of blood that cleansed us from our initial sins of salvation is the same power of that blood of today. Even though Jesus is not coming back from the dead to hang on the cross to die for me again, he died once and for all. One time death, one time resurrection, done deal. And so we rejoice with that today. When you hiccup in life and you need to ask for forgiveness. Amen? And admit it. Come on, he already knows. It's not like, oh, he's not going to catch me on this. He knows. And many times he would probably say, for me, I'm just thinking, Tim, if you would have come, you know, 6 weeks ago or 2 days ago, a year ago, and asked for it, it would have been a whole lot better for you. Because without that, you know, there's enough of the Holy Spirit that is like, you know, it's like, I just can't. There's something in it. Give it up. Give up your sins. Give up your things that you feel you've transgressed. Amen. And give it back and over and get rid of it. Instantly. Don't wait to where you have to go to confession next week or next month or tomorrow. You sin, instantly say, I've sinned, forgive me, Father God. Oh, the blood of Jesus that cleansed me from my initial sins, Lord God, is the same blood today that I can confess and say, thank you, Lord, for washing me of this sin. And Lord, I don't want to do it again, and I don't have the strength to do it again, or to stay away from it, but Lord, I ask you for your strength to come in and help me get through this, whatever it is in your life. Many times we go through the same things in our life because we try to keep doing it on our own power, on our own ability, and guess what happens? We don't succeed. We succeed in staying in that same rut. And what's the old terminology of a rut? A rut is nothing more than a grave with both ends knocked out. It's like you're in a grave, just continuing in that grave. I'm in a rut, man. I'm in a rut. Well, get out of the rut. You have purposely put yourself in that rut because you have not returned back, or you've not asked for forgiveness. You've not accepted whatever. It is all on guess who? Me, us, you. God is not going to do any more. Jesus is not going to do any more. Holy Spirit's not going to do any more than what they've done, because what they've done has been already fantastic and complete. Oh, I think he says something like that. It is. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, that was at the end of his life. It is finished. When you sin and do something stupid, repent, ask for forgiveness, and say, it is finished. It is finished in this life. And Lord, give me strength so that I don't do it again or go back to it or take it on again. You, whatever it is. And he's there. He is there, amen. We find in his word, you know, it goes through many things, excuse me. But his word will tell us, you have not because you... We don't ask him for everything. We only ask him and cover up things that we want. Well, do this for me, God. I'm asking for this. No, it's with my whole life, my whole being, my whole fiber that I surrender to him and I say, I am yours. I don't know, one of the songs we sang probably was relating to that, or we could dig all that. It's just, God is a God of love and forgiveness, and he just wants his people to recognize that and not allow the enemy to continually tell you that you're not. The enemy. Who's the enemy? Satan, the devil. Well, my Father in heaven's already told me who he is. The Word of God says Satan is the father of some lies. A-L-L, that cleaning detergent. No, all. He's the father of all lies. So all that Satan is going to do is fill you with lies. And we know in society that if you hear a lie long enough, what happens? Society begins to believe it. As crazy as it is, you would think, as what we've got is knowledge, you would think, like, no, you hear it first, that's a lie. Second time, that's a lie. No, they're crazy. Well, it keeps being perpetrated for months, days, years, weeks, a society, and pretty soon we get to go, well, gosh, I don't know, maybe there is some truth to it. Well, if you fall for that, that's what happens. Oh, well, I get maybe. Well, maybe there is. No, 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 no. If it's a lie the first time, it's a lie 12,000 times later that they tell you. And the devil is good at always wanting to bring it up. And we find that he does it a lot when we get what? Wore down. When you're going through a struggle, when you're going through a battle, when you're going through a health situation, or you're strong, you're nothing wrong in your health, you disconnect from God. You disconnect from your source of attending a church or a fellowship to where you're with like-minded people, to where we pray for one another, comfort one another, know one another, help one another, care for one another. The Lord wants you to stay there. Do not forsake assembling yourselves with like-minded people. The church, the Christ Jesus died for the church. We got people out there saying, don't go to church, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Well, everything in life is that. If you come, we're probably now more of a hypocrite because now you're with us. But that's okay because that we're all hypocrites. Saved by grace, love of God, on this journey together, asking for forgiveness. You're no better than I am. I'm no better than you are. We're the family of God. Sojourning on this world or this earth. But we walk with love. We walk with Jesus' love. A long time back, God says, and I shared this in a message, what we need to do is walk with the compassion that Jesus walked upon this earth. Amen? And if we would do that, church would even be good. Because sometimes the church is when we shoot our wounded people. We don't take care of them. We don't pray for them. We begin to look down on them. Rather than saying, I just don't know what they're going through. But Lord, I pray for them. Amen. Hey, it's Advent. The promise is coming. Quickly, as we look at this, the first candle, purple, the prophecy candle or the candle of hope. We can have hope because God is faithful and will keep the promises he's made to us. Amen. Do you think God has ever broken a promise that he's told you? If you think so, it's just the enemy telling you that he's broke the promise. I would say chances are you probably broke it with your actions or inactions. But anyway, our hope comes from God. Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with what? Hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to have that joy and that peace in us. As representations of Christ, the world looks for something of peace and a joy and a comfort. The world doesn't have it. We know that. But they're going to look for that, and we have it because of Christ in us. And because what? May overflow with the power by the Holy Spirit. People understand or need to understand, you need God, you need Jesus, you need the Holy Spirit, the three in one, if you're going to survive and get through this whole thing that we call life and try to understand what we're going through. We cannot be a oneness church or a two-ness church or whatever the case can be. It's all or nothing. If you leave out one of them, you've lost part of that power. You've lost a third of the power, a third of the understanding. You only rely on one, you're only at a third of power, you know? And I don't know how you can do that. But there's people out there, and there's denominational religions, and they want to do that, and they find a scripture that says, oh, it's just this, oh, it's just that. Well, thank God they didn't read that one sentence that said the index, because they'd be serving the index. Well, that's in the Bible too. We're the church of index. You know, you got to read it fullness, the gospel. You got to look at the totality of what this is all about. And then you need to also look at it, as John has shared many times, we talked and we had a good thing on Thursday, about, you know, getting understanding of the culture when this was written by men of old, inspired by the Holy Spirit. God breathed. God's word. This is God's word, yes, written by man. If God wanted to, you know, hey, he put some stuff on stone tablets too, you know, but, you know, thankfully he said, hey, are you scribes, right? But this is inspired by God, and it is God's word. And when you come to a person and they don't believe that, you might as well just shut down, not even talk to them about it, because you'll never go anywhere. So, well, okay, let's change subject. How about a cup of coffee at McCazzo in 4 hours? We've got 4 hours in line. Oh, this is going to be a long line. Oh. And we look at this by that. Romans 15:12-13, it says, and again, Isaiah says this, and we're just reading, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Verse 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The power. Power, one of four great power words. The others are looking at delegating authority and great strength, and dunamis meaning energy, power, might, great force, great ability, strength, used to describe the powers of the world to come to work at upon the earth and things like that. But dunamis, the power, dynamite, that's where we get dynamite, the dunamis. But we have that hope and power by the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit imparts not only spiritual gifts to the believer, but also joy and peace and hope. Amen? We look at that in Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Verse 16. Verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Maybe if people don't have joy and peace, maybe we ought to ask them first, have you been filled with that of the Holy Spirit? Now, we know the initial salvation, the Spirit comes in and begins to help us and enlighten us. But then there's an infilling of the Holy Spirit and power and the giftings of those things. And to get that, and maybe when people don't have that joy and peace, maybe we need to say, hey, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. I'm not saying you don't. When you got salvation, you did. But how about the infilling of the Holy Spirit in a way of getting the giftings of that? And that's where the joy and the peace comes from. What's the answer? Jesus. There's an intro into, hey, let me share you about the joy that I have, and what I've got you can have. You know, it says my word, and God, his word is that he's not a respecter of persons, so you don't have to be a certain lineage, you don't have to be a certain denominational, you don't have to be nothing other than, which we are all, created by God. And so let me share what he's done. Let me share the joy that I have. Thank you, Lord. Second candle, the Bethlehem candle, the candle of preparation. God kept his promise of a Savior who would be born in Bethlehem. Preparation means to get what? Get ready. Prepare your hearts. Help us to be ready to welcome you, O God, as it is written in the book of words of Isaiah. A voice of what? One calling in the desert. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make paths straight for him. Every valley shall be filled in. Every mountain shall be made low. The crooked roads shall become straight and the rough roads smooth. And all mankind we'll see God's salvation. Thank you, Father. Let's see. But we do know that, you know, in our lives, we all have crooked roads. And even with my serving of him, I still have a crooked road now and then. But I know that he can straighten it out. I know that sometimes I get on a path that maybe is probably not his path. You know, we've talked about those things of last month back, about destiny that we all have and that path that he has us on. And sometimes we just inadvertently get off of it. We get sidetracked. Life happens. But when we recognize that, we do know that we can say, oh, Lord, I don't think I want to be where I'm at. Help me get back on your path. Amen? And so, but we do find that. And as we share about this second candle, about the preparation of getting ready, we want to get ready. Be ready. Amen? Be ready for his coming. And to be ready for his coming is just, when he comes back, is all we need to do is just be found faithful in what he's asked you to do. And a lot of that faithfulness, what he's asked us to do is share the message of hope. Give something for people to hang on to, because life is hard. I've shared in messages here that even as a Christian and a follower of Christ, life is hard, even for us. But we've got a hope that is outside this world. And he will make a way where there seems to be no way. Amen. And so that's part of the Advent as we're getting in preparation for, you know, looking at that of hope and that of preparation. And so as we do that today and the week ahead, just continue to fixate yourself on that and read the scriptures and look at the birth and the preparation of that. And realization is that how long back in the very beginning of the Bible it was spoken of. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke it speaks of, you know, and John. So anyway, God is good, God is faithful, and he will keep his word. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for this wonderful, glorious day. We thank you for your presence here with us. We thank you, Lord. Father, you speak through your word, Father God. You speak, Father God, through the Holy Spirit into our lives. And I pray that was shared, Lord, will stay with the individuals, Lord, where it needs to be, Lord. And if it's some things that I've said and it doesn't matter, let it be lost, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that things that focus on you and you alone are retained, and that we will think about them, pray about them, and walk with you this week. Bless each one, I pray. Lord, I also pray for that of the offering and giving. We thank you for that, Lord. You continue to provide for your kingdom here. And as we can support others, Lord, as we send it out as well. But, Lord, you're a loving God, a caring God, and a God that has it all. Again, bless this day. Be with us as we go. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.